I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America.
Welcome to the Forest Fancast. Once again, myself, Mark, and Jordan, joined this time by a legendary singer, a man who provided the music for this very pod, the one, the only, Mr. Tom Wardle. How's it going, my friend?
Hello, how are we doing? That's a great intro. Thank you very much. I'll take that.
I was trying to rein myself in. I wasn't sure whether to shoehorn in there that you were the man that Rolling Stone suggested sounds like a California dream. But then I didn't know how you took to that. Is that a compliment?
Mate, I tell everyone that I meet that. That's,
Hello, I'm Tom Wardle, California dream. Pleased to meet you. How's it going, Jordan?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Glad we finally connected. It's been a while. Oh. And it's take two with Tom because our last one failed. So fingers crossed the internet holds up this time around.
Corey, I know you're listening because he's doing the editing, although he can't be on mic, unfortunately, and probably going to be missing for the next couple of three episodes. He is nonetheless still producing the pod. We appreciate that. So knowing that you're listening, take two with Tom, that's surely got to be the title of this episode.
Fantastic. Well, let's hope it goes well.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, Tom doesn't want his name associated with it in any way, shape, or form. All right, lads. Well, as is tradition anymore with the Forest Fancast, let's jump in with our What the Forests.
What the Forest?
Jordan, you want to lead us off with one of your stories?
Yeah, What the Forest. We had a big rumour coming through over the past few weeks about our manager, Sabri Lamouchi, and interest from other clubs, predominantly Watford. But he's still around. And, you know, I think this is the downside of having a one-year deal for Sabri is, you know, he'll have options at the end of the year given how well he started. Let's hope that, he sticks around and our performances kind of continue to pick up. We're still in the top six, so I think we're in good shape. But, a little worry that people might be poaching our man.
That is scary. It is. What's your take on that, Tom? I mean, I'm sure when he initially signed for Forest and he only signed on a one-year contract, you were thinking, blimey, uncharacteristic smarts from a Forest leadership there, not tying this guy down to a 10-year contract.
Well, I think they've learned now, haven't they? The amount of times Forest have sacked someone within a year, I think, well, a year is pretty sensible to give it a try, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when was the last time Forest had a manager that was serving for them that was tapped up by another club?
Oh, that's crazy. I was wondering how long it would take, Tom. I think I have 2 minutes and 3 seconds before you created a beautiful opportunity for me to segue into the fact that we did a stoppage time with Chippers.
Yes, we did.
In which we asked him that very question. When was the last time we had a Forest manager worth tapping up? So that'll drop here probably in the next week or so. Folks can listen out for that. But that was interesting news. And it was even more interesting to hear that he had apparently rebuffed Watford's advances on two separate occasions, although Lamouchi in a follow-up interview suggested that he had no contact with Watford. So not sure what the real story is there, but it certainly set the internet ablaze with Forest fans speculating about whether he would stick around or be bound for the Premier League.
Yeah, sign him up.
I think that's the message. Tom, what you got for us?
What the Forest?
Absolutely. So it was a story in The Athletic this week where Daryl Murphy had admitted that he was on cocaine at the start of last season, and he was subsequently banned for 6 weeks, which was, a shock to many. And I didn't realise that... was it UEFA that banned him?
FA.
Well,
was it the FA? Yeah, and they keep it quiet. They don't want the players knowing, partly because it could be young players early in their career. And it might hinder them later on, which I thought was quite fair. But he came out and he says, this is what I did. I don't condone it. This is why I was missing for, 6 weeks was he out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my
I wish I'd hit record before, about 10 minutes before, because Tom had a beautiful zinger in which I said, why were the fans not made aware of this, that he wasn't available and he was going to be missing for 6 weeks? And Tom replied,
no one noticed, did they? No one noticed he was missing. Seriously, it was true.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it is surprising. Did I hear, I don't want to put us in a position here where we have lawyers, attorneys, whatever it is, chasing after us, but did I hear Jason Cummins' name being wrapped up in the story too? Was there something in that? And that's the case. I mean, does that surprise us? These young men have more money than they know what to do with. I mean, maybe the surprise is we don't hear more of these stories.
I would probably say exactly that. It's a surprise that someone's come out and said, actually, this is what I've done. I've done wrong and I've been punished for it and I accept it. It probably goes on more than we're aware. But from what I read, it was a random check and he was the one that got caught out.
All right. So yours truly is up next.
What the fuck?
We are delighted to share out, and anyone who's not heard this yet, it's been living under a rock, but share out that Forest tied down three of their own here in the last few weeks since we last recorded a pod. Matty Cash confirming a long-term deal, and boy, did he look happy. He was like a kid in a candy shop, wasn't he? It was a smile from ear to ear. He was going to be with Forest long-term. Ryan Yates then followed suit and also signed a long-term contract with the Reds. And then just a couple of days ago, Tyrese Fornar also confirmed that he had signed a long-term deal at the City Ground. Maybe a name not familiar to many. I've got to be honest, not one particularly familiar to me, but Fornar currently plays in the U23s and is making a name for himself, which in and of itself is pretty impressive because Forest, by all accounts, have a really impressive batch of young'uns coming through. So for him to stand out, 20-year-old combative midfielder, apparently cut from the same cloth as Sam Bassal, and it sounds like he really earned his professional contract. So fair play to him. Excited to have another of our own signed up long term. Look forward to seeing him break into the first team here soon.
Yeah, I had a weird moment when I saw the Matty Cash announcement and the little picture. I feel like a kid that just found out that Santa isn't real because he had just a blank piece of paper in front of him with a pen. I thought he actually had like a contract, and I was like, oh, it's always been a contract that he actually signed in front of him. And when you zoom in closely, I think the angle is just a bit niche and you can just see it's just a blank piece of white paper.
They've done that for years. I know. I've seen the picture a couple of years ago and someone clearly noted that there was a blank piece of paper in front of this guy was smiling. You're like, yeah, right.
Just smiling. I feel like, yeah, had a proper Santa isn't real moment then for me this week when that was announced. But I'm finally reaching my next stage of adulthood, lad. You'll be pleased to hear.
Wait. What? Hang on a second. Santa's not real. This goes out right before Christmas, boys. It's not good.
Put us on the naughty list.
Yeah,
much like Daryl Murphy running his line.
Oh dear, you have to put Daryl Murphy on the naughty step. You can't give him lines to do. Sorry, terrible. He had a blank sheet of paper in front of him, and it kind of reminded me of the bad old days when Cluffy used to ask players to sign contracts that had nothing on them and just said, sign here, we'll fill in the details later. So,
yeah. You know, there's some fantastic stories about that, because everyone that used to do it, he used to double their wages, didn't he? So,
yeah,
you've trusted me, I'll repay you. And then they'll throw in a car on top of it.
Yeah, it was that Mark Crossley's contract, I think I read. It was that happened. Unbelievable story, isn't it? I think, was it on Reservoir Red Dogs or Under the Cosh, one of those two podcasts? Fantastic listen if anyone hasn't heard.
Yeah, absolutely top draw stuff. All right, Jordan, you're
what up. What the Forest?
Yeah, what the Forest? We have a new Polish international as part of the squad. Matty Cash has turned into Maciej Cash. And interesting turn of events with a Polish grandparent. And maybe we see him in the Euros next year when I'm lucky enough to get a few tickets. So hopefully if they make it through a group stage, I might be seeing him in the latter stages of the tournament. But a real one from left field. I'm trying to think of a more kind of rogue moment in Forest history than that. And I think Forlaz's era has a few.
Wes Morgan playing for Jamaica, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's niche. But you know, I remember, like, he's playing well.
I remember entirely missing the news that Wes Morgan had attached himself to Jamaica. And I remember looking, a friend of mine who's not into football at all, but is trying to learn it. When Leicester won the Premier League, words that just, again, I'm struggling to say without dry heaving. He insisted that their captain was a Jamaican international. I'm like, no, it's not. That's Wes Morgan. He's a Forest. He's not you. And then he showed me the Wikipedia page, which in and of itself wasn't sufficient proof. Yeah. And so I went down the rabbit hole, of course, and yeah, I was blown away. I was like, when did this happen?
Yeah. So, you know, you think these guys do it because they think, oh, you know what? I'm probably not going to get into the England squad, but I want to play international football. This is the route. It's like Mark Crosley played for Wales, doesn't it?
Wales, yeah.
Or, you know, I think he had a couple of games for them. You're thinking he's English, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Tom, you got a good one for us. One that's very close to your heart, mate.
Got the What the Forest. So McCartney, Paul McCartney, is playing at Glastonbury next year. And we're wondering if he's going to bring out Muller Kintyre for the Forest fans, if it's good news. Now, I remember there was a radio interview a couple of years ago, and I think it was with XFM. McCartney said he would play Muller Kintyre if Forest go up.
Ooh.
And because nice. Yeah, someone asked him to come to the City Ground, because, of course, we had... who was it? Not Bill Withers. Who's from the... Righteous Brothers, Bill Medley. We had Bill Medley at the City Ground. Can you remember that?
Yeah.
To do You've Lost That Loving Feeling. So someone asked Paul, he said, you know, would you come to the City Ground to sing? He goes, well, where are they now? And he said, well, they're in the second, you know, the second league. He goes, well, if they went up, you know, maybe I'll come on and do the song. that was my Paul impression, by the way.
Very good.
There you go. There you go.
So hopefully he does. And we were mentioning before, there's always the Forest fan who we found out is called Ali Barron, an Australian who's got the big Forest flag at the front. So every time you watch Glastonbury on the TV, there's always the Forest flag in the front, which is great to see.
Oh, fantastic. So we need to come up with a hashtag so we can get this going on social media, Tom. So you need to lead the way on that, mate. This is your line of work. So think on it, come up with something that makes sense, and we'll get it going.
I'll come back to you at the end of the show with that. I'm going to work.
There you go. Yeah. Mac of Kintyre is my initial one there. But Saturday, 27th of June, I'm going to be streaming Glastonbury, Pyramid Stage, just injecting Will of Kintyre into my veins if it happens. Can't wait.
Brilliant stuff.
What the Forest?
What the Forest? I'm going to wrap up this segment with back to the Athletic and this rather amusing story, which I think everybody being interviewed was doing tongue firmly in cheek. This was the article where Sabri Lemushi likened Rhys Samba to the legendary Forest goalkeeper Peter Shilton. Now, I could see some comparisons there. I think it's a little early maybe to be drawing those comparisons, but I think it just goes to show the love that there is for Rhys Samba around Nottingham and further afield. And then the article goes on to say, Matty Cash chimes in, suggesting that Samba's footwork is so good in practice. He's pinging the ball around like crazy, hitting his marks, you know, passing to whoever he wants, that he could go play in the Forest midfield. So I think if his accuracy is that good, he needs to go up front.
I would genuinely like to see him play outfield for a match.
Oh, can you imagine him up front? That would be amazing.
Yeah, not to like dip into some of the matches, but one of my big highlights from the Bristol City game was just seeing Samba's skills. So there was that big Cruyff turn where he just absolutely dummied the Bristol City striker.
Yes.
And that was just like all over Forest social media for a little while. And then because it was quite a wet pitch, there was like a period in the second half where the ball was running out of play and he just like slid and he went on for like 15 metres, 20 metres, just sliding and sliding. I bet he put in some naughty tackles too. So Samba effect in midfield would be quite an interesting sight to see.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That article, of course, was penned by Paul Taylor. He's doing great work at The Athletic. You really need to go check him out. And if you're interested in dipping into a subscription with a little bit of a discount, pretty hefty discount actually, you can actually jump on Twitter, look at our account. And we have the opportunity there for you to utilize a code that will give you access to The Athletic as cheap as chips. So go check it out if you feel so inclined.
I'm going to dip in there. It is well worth the money.
It really is, isn't it?
It's so good, isn't it? Yeah, class.
The journalism is really first class, and it's much better than, you know, the clickbait headlines that the local journos churn out week in, week out. This is the real stuff. Yeah, highly recommended.
And it's great for those sports just all around North America too. So like I follow a lot of the Toronto sports on it as well as Forest. And Jess, for just all sports coverage, particularly in North America, it's just top draw. So glad Forest got added this year, but yeah, it's been amazing to read all the stories as they come through.
Yeah, I think in addition to the English Premier League, or the English Football League, like you said, Jordan, I think they cover the MLS, the NHL, NBA, yep, or the other acronyms, as well as college sports as well, Corey, because I know that's one of Corey's loves as well. So anyway, check him out. Don't want this to be too much of an advert for The Athletic. We're not getting paid for it after all, but it is
not
high
yet
quality.
Anyway,
yeah, right, it is high quality. All right, it's transition, guys, to the last five games, which just goes to show how pathetic we are at scheduling these podcasts. With Corey's workload having picked up some, you think it'd be easier for Jordan and I to get together, but things have been a bit crazy, and my work gets ever so mad toward the end of the calendar year. So we're delighted to finally be able to corral Tom and get this going. So yes, five games. So instead, what we're going to do this time around, typically we delve pretty deeply into the games, spend a good, 7 to 10 minutes in each one. The fact we have five and we have other content we want to get through in this podcast means we can't spend that kind of time on those games, nor do I think our listeners want us to. I'm not sure anyone wants us to spend 7, 8, 10 minutes analyzing Bristol City from 3 weeks ago. So instead, we're going to go with a bit of a good, the bad, and the ugly theme. Corey, this is where you insert the
like that. Don't even need to insert it. That was good enough. Just keep that in. Yeah.
Cheers. Thanks so much. I have a whistling A game before each of these. So what we're going to do is one of us will lead off. So maybe the first game, I'll lead off. I'll give my good, my bad, my ugly. If Jordan or Tom have anything additional to add to any of those three categories, wade in. If you're good, bad, or ugly, line up with mine. It's a done deal. Let's just move on. And we'll rattle through these games as quickly as we can. We may spend a little time on the most recent one, the Middlesbrough game, as it is the most recent one. So let's jump in. Good, bad, and ugly. Bristol City, Forest away at Bristol City. This is way back now on November the 23rd. And it ended up in a 0-0 draw. My good, bad, and ugly from this game, gents. Good, we didn't lose at Bristol City, which has not been a particularly happy hunting ground for us. And I think it's generally speaking a pretty difficult place to go get points. Bristol City aren't the greatest team in the Championship, but nonetheless, they battened down the hatches pretty effectively at their home gaff. So to get out there with a point, that's a good. A bad, of course, we didn't come away with the 3 points, which it would have been nice to have gotten off the back of the Derby victory to maintain that momentum. And the ugly we must all surely agree on was Ryan Yates' ugly but deserved red card. What do you think, gents?
That was a brutal tackle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the likes of not we've not seen in a while, but it's nice to see that passion there, though.
Yeah,
you can call it passion.
He got his mentorship from Roy Keane while he was here, that's for sure.
Clearly.
yeah, I think another positive for me is just how well we held on with 10 men. Like, I think we were really, really solid after Yates got sent off, and going away with a point from the context of that game, I don't think was a bad thing. But honestly, that's it. It was so long ago. I don't even remember what I did yesterday, let alone in like however long ago this game was.
One other thing I do want to mention about this game is I think it was the first time that suggestions were flying around Twitter that this might be Limucci's strongest 11. So Samba in goal, Worrell and Figueiredo at centre-back, Robinson at left-back, Cash at right-back, midfield three of Silva, Watson and Yates, and an attacking three of Amiobi, Grabon.
I thought it was Grabon, yeah, that's what I thought.
Paco Rabon.
And Joe Lolly. I think that's close to being the strongest. I think there could be an argument for Carvalho being there instead of Silva, and maybe Dawson being centre back alongside Worrell in place of Figueiredo. Dunno, what do you think, gents?
I would definitely agree with you on those points. Dawson and Carvalho in there.
Just missing Milosevic for me.
Oh, I know. Harkening back. How long are we going to beat that drum?
I don't know. A bit longer.
For as long as we can get away with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag missing Milo.
Hashtag Hannah missing Milo. So we move to November the 27th, where the Forest went down to London to QPR specifically. And yeah, lovely smash and grab. 4-0 victory for the Reds. Another red card, this time with the opposition. With I'm trying to remember who was that picked it up. Who picked up that red card for QPR? Wallace, wasn't it? I think it was Wallace. Let me look at my notes here. Yes, indeed it was. Yep, Wallace. But Forrest, anyway, running out 4-0 winners with goals from Figueiredo, Graben, Carvalho, and Semedo scoring in injury time. Jordan, you want to take the good, the bad, and the ugly on this one?
Yeah, the good is we finally got our battering. Lads, I've been predicting it for so many weeks. We finally battered a team. So I think that was the good. I think the bad for me is just Mark Warburton's ghost of defending still exists, doesn't it? Where mm-hmm. we're now seeing it at another squad where like a clean sheet looks like the most impossible task. You need Tom Cruise to solve that Mission Impossible there. And then I think the ugly for me must have been the hangovers for the London Trickies that following morning, because that was a good little win. It took us a bit of a time to really get going into gear, but once we got to the 80th minute, we just polished them off, didn't we?
Yeah, completely agree. Good to see Forrest putting 4 in, which has been a while, really, hasn't it? I mean, it felt like, you know, if there's a few more minutes, we'd have probably got 5.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was that they were on a roll weren't they? Particularly once they got the man up advantage. My favourite thing about this game, though, honestly, was not this game. My favourite thing about this game was the fact that Derby had gone down to London the same week and got absolutely spanked by Fulham. So it gave us the opportunity to gloat about the fact that London's a really easy place to go and get points, unless you're Derby. So that was great.
Particularly West London. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. Unfortunately, though, on November the 30th, Forrest went down to, or Forrest at the City Ground went down to Cardiff. Don't make it sound like they went to Wales. They lost to Cardiff by a 1-0 scoreline. Tom, what's your good, bad, and the ugly on this one, mate?
I'm trying to remember the match. I really am. Sorry.
So Tom's bad is the match was unmemorable.
Yeah. It really was. I was in the pub watching it. I remember that much.
Another reason why you can't remember it. Yeah. Did you take it, Tom? Do you remember any good from it?
No, I know. I honestly don't.
I'll have a go, mate.
I'm going to stay silent here. Edit that bit out. Okay.
I'll have a go, lads. The good for me was I had two really good moments from this game. First one is Matty Cash's tackle on Junior Hoyler in that first half, where he absolutely just went straight through him. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there was a ball that Silva played with the outside of his boot to Robinson to spray the ball out wide in one of our attacks. And it was just like the most perfect curve on it. But yeah, when those are your best two highlight moments of the game, it wasn't great overall. The bad was just the fact that we looked like we couldn't really score. Nothing was happening in the final third. The Toronto Trickies were losing hope as the game went on more and more and building frustration. And then the ugly was the refereeing, and two, Colin Frey's reaction on commentary to it was just outstanding. He was getting so riled and rattled. So if anyone can kind of loop back on the footage there, well worth a little listen, particularly towards the end of the first half. He was going off on an absolute rampage. So yeah, that was the good, bad, and the ugly for me on that one.
This is the match where we had like 30 shots, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know what? It's come back to me now. It's completely come back to me.
The Guinness haze is lifting.
I have a good. Yeah, you know, it was great that Forest were attacking. I remember so many bloody shots, but how many were on target? Like 2 or 3, if that.
1 or 2. Yeah, it's brutal.
So
that's the bad. I'll take the ugly then in that. And this isn't specifically about this game. This is something that's bothered me all season long. And Jordan referenced it a little earlier when he said, you know, finally we spanked a team. That was great. You know, hammering QPR 4-0 was wonderful, but that was a flash in the pan. It's been an issue. Yeah. Scoring goals has been an issue all season long. Creating opportunities, not so much, but putting them in, you know, the back of the net has definitely been a concern. So, you know, we've been saying from day one that obviously, Forrest need to do some business in January, bring someone in to support Lewis Graben. But it is worrying because in the meantime, you know, we're dropping points. We shouldn't be dropping, particularly at the City Ground.
Yeah, goal scoring has been a problem this year.
Yeah.
And we need someone to help Graben up front, get those goals. Yeah. We can't just rely on him. And you know, Joe Loll is not providing as many as he was last year.
Well, yeah. stick a pin in that one, because I want to come back to Lolly in just a moment. I've got to say, it was particularly gutting to see Lee Tomlin in the heart of Cardiff's midfield actually playing really well. And I think doing something we don't see enough from Carvalho or from Silva, from any of our midfielders really, which is just tying everything together, pulling the strings. Watson does it in a defensive fashion, but offensively, I thought Tomlin looked really good. He looked really composed, and I think he showed his quality, and I think could have done with some of that.
Yeah, I didn't recognise him. He's lost so much weight too, hasn't he? It's like a little streamlined Tomlin.
Yeah.
Good for him though. Yeah, he was class, wasn't he? He was very decent.
Yeah, he was. All right. And so we move to December. We're finally into December. December the 6th, specifically. Back down to London. This time the rough end. To go play Millwall at the New Den. Forrest again, picking up a point on the road with a 2-2 draw. Both goals coming from, he scores when he wants, Lewis Graben. Yeah. Oh, wonderful stuff. I can't remember who's doing good, bads and uglies. I think maybe this is on me now, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon you're first on this one, mate.
I think it's me. Well, the good, I mean, there can only be one, right? Got to be Lewis Graben and the masterclass in how to put the ball in the back of the net. The bad, it's going to sound really cheap to suggest Millwall is the bad. But just Millwall, just everything about how they play, how they conduct themselves, the shithousery that they seem to delight in rolling out every time they play us, and probably everybody else as well. I just can't stand them as a club, as a team. Ugh, they just get my goat. So, because I detest them quite so much, they're my ugly as well. So,
agreed. I'll go with a bad on that one. And, you know, Samba got a little bit of blame for their goal right at the end, didn't he? Because he didn't stop the shot. But
yeah, I'm not having that.
No.
Let's talk about that. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, I think it got deflected. So he did well to get an arm to it anyway. You know, you could see it took a deflection on the way in. He was diving. He started to dive one way, got it on the other. There was no stopping it once it bounced back. You know, there's no way he could have caught it in the first instance. It was just pure unlucky. You know, it's a game that after the first half of watching it, you thought, we'll take a point. But then when what was it? 2-1 up in the 88th minute when Graben got, we thought, oh, this is it. Okay, we've stolen it. We'll take a win. We'll steal that. But just did when they equalised in stoppage time.
Yeah, you know it's tough when like even Superman can't stop that last goal equaliser going in. Like Samba effect, you know, it may have taken a little pause, flatlined, but it'll continue to go up again, I'm sure. I think good, bad and ugly for me. I think the good is just the absolute limbs for the Forest fans for that second goal. There's some photos on our glorious banners that are absolutely outstanding. And there's one photo where I think Simon's falling to the floor and it's just like a staged like mayhem in the away end. So I think that would have been the good from my side. And I think our ability to bounce back for sure was the good for me. I think bad is conceding that last minute goal. That would have been a really nice lift to just get the 3 points there. And when we look across all of these results, we're seeing a lot of draws totting up and needing to really kind of turn 1 point into 3 points really to help solidify that playoff place for us. The ugly for me is just I think lesson learned on the team selection and starting lineup and mate Rafa Mir, I think we just did a bit too much there. But the good news is I think we learned a lesson, we changed it, we switched it up, and we looked so much better, didn't we, when we went back to our normal routine.
That's the thing, I think, Jordan. It was a lot of changes to have to deal with all at once, right? It was a change in formation, which is never easy when you're away from home. And I don't really understand it, because our road record is actually really solid. So it was odd that he changed up formation. Yeah, we saw a couple of additions to the starting lineup that left us scratching our heads a little bit. But I agree with Tom as well. It looked like we had completed the smash and grab. So it was a bit gutting. Well, it was more than a bit gutting. It was pretty devastating.
Huge go down.
Yeah, to then concede in the last couple of minutes. I know we all have an opinion on Rafa Mir, but like with Joe Lolly, I'm going to ask you guys to put a pin in that just for a moment. because he's one of three players I want to circle back around to when we get done reviewing those games. And so we come to our final of the five games, our most recent one, 10th of December, Nottingham Forest welcomed Middlesbrough to the City Ground. Game ended up in a 1-1 draw. Very disappointing. I have to say, I was struggling to get a stream on this game. So actually, I didn't see the game. I was following it through through Twitter, and I was trying to follow it through the Sky pay, the Sky website.
Twitter's the new CFAX, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Well, with games, it really is the new CFAX.
Specifically Paul Taylor. Yeah, absolutely.
It's tweet fax.
Tails fax for me. But so, but what I have to say, what added insult to injury for me is one of the streaming sites that I use that almost always comes through for me. It didn't even have a live stream up, but instead it had imagery, and the imagery showed a Middlesbrough player and a Forest player, and the Middlesbrough player that it showed was Patrick Bamford, and the Forest player it showed was Britt Sombalonga.
Oh, mate, you need to get on Iraqi Goals or 720p streams.me.
All right, text me those when we get on. But that just added insult to injury. I'm like, neither are Forest players, both were Middlesbrough players more recently. So, anyway, coming back to what Tom was saying in regards to Forest being shot crazy, another example of this game where Forest just, you know, weren't exactly shot crazy. I mean, their shots, Middlesbrough actually had the same number of shots that Forest did, but chances created were ridiculous. I mean, the quality of chances created were ridiculous, but again, struggling to hit our own arse with our own hand. Very, very frustrating. A game that I think everybody agreed, you know, we should be taking maximum points from. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think this is missed opportunity number two in a row. When we look across Millwall and then Borough. Good for me was we were smashing them as well. We played fairly well across the game. And I just can't believe how bad Borough are now. I remember when they were amazing like 2 years ago or even last season. And, you know, we battered them 3-0 at home last year. But like, I don't remember as a Middlesbrough side being this bad. So kind of that was the good piece. I think the bad bit for me is just the missed opportunity again. And then the ugly is just that Jack Robinson senseless tackle to concede the penalty and not getting the points. And a frustrating one. I think I think honestly, We it's probably a bit of a slump in air quotes at the moment, but when we're still fifth in the table, like the only way is up a little bit for us right now. Things could be a lot worse, and I'm not worried. We're still, you know, on track for a playoff position. We have the game in hand still, but missed opportunity is the real frustrating thing here. Is just as far as to get your hopes up about third or second in the league, we have a bit of a slip.
Happens every December. We might as well put it in the diary along with Christmas, haven't we, really? No, and I thought Ryan Yates took his goal really well. Great header.
Yeah. No, it was the breakthrough we needed, right? You could just sense the relief. As we were, again, finishing has just been lacking for us in the final third. And I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts, guys. I was doing some thinking about why we probably aren't having that attacking threat as much. And I was thinking we probably changed that front three behind Graben a lot, which must be tough to build chemistry and connections between our front four behind Graben. Just wanted to see your thoughts if that makes sense to you as a bit of a theory or not.
It's almost like Lamucci isn't playing his best team purposely at times. You know, he's making tactical substitutions. I think he knows his best team. But for some reason, he wants to make impact substitutions, which, you know, we've seen them work before. But in times like when we had Rafa Mir starting and he shouldn't have really started at all, should he?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to know what the issue really is. On the one hand, you're right, Tom. He seems to be making changes almost in an effort to show off. Like, look at the depth of my squad. I can bring in these players. You know, we can move things around. We have options. And he does have a lot of players. And so that does make you think, okay, well, that's great. You know, we certainly have depth in terms of numbers. I'm not sure we have consistent quality across that depth. But then the flip side is, you know, generally speaking, the most successful teams are those that don't make those changes, particularly in the Championship. In the Premier League, you see, you know, generally see more squad rotation, but in the Championship, you tend to find your settled 8-9 players, and you know those are the ones that play most games and carry you through to the finish line. And to Jordan's point, I think there's definitely something in the changes we've seen in those attacking three, Jordan. But clearly, the biggest issue is that we're not playing Rafinha enough. I don't know what Grabban's doing on the field.
Oh, mate, you're coming back to our team of the decade here in a minute. Oh, dear.
Yeah, and we'll move on to that in just a moment. So we've all three of us, I asked the lads to go ahead and put together their Forest team of the decade, with this decade, of course, getting ready to come to a close here in a few weeks. And we all put together a team, except for Jordan, who put together 32 variables. So this could end up being the longest pod we've ever recorded when we move into day three. We'll come on to that here in just a second. While we're talking about changes, while we're talking about players who maybe aren't giving their best, who we're not seeing the best of, we're not seeing the output from, I mentioned I wanted you guys to put pins in a couple of names we've name checked already. Let's take those pins out now and let's take a closer look at a few guys. They've been setting Twitter ablaze these last few weeks. A lot of conversation about them, even discussion about whether they should still be in a Forest shirt. First one I have for you is Joe Lolly licked? I mean, he's certainly not delivering the output in terms of statistics this year, but those who are watching him play, and I talked with Paul Taylor just today, suggested that Lolly's actually playing pretty well. What's our take? Is it worth benching Lolly and giving him a break? Or do we stick with him knowing he'll come good?
Oh, so I'm in two minds on this one, I think. One, I think people are more aware of him after last season. Mm-hmm. So I think teams are building a bit of a plan around him predominantly. But we can't underestimate a lot of the work that people probably don't ordinarily see that he does. So I think firstly, he does track back and covers his fullback quite well and tracks back to stop a lot of attacks from the other team. And secondly, when we are attacking, you do notice teams get two or maybe three players on him. And, you know, particularly when he's playing on the right, and we've spoken a lot about how great a season Matty Cash has had. But I think we can't underestimate the impact Lolly has had in terms of freeing up that space for Matty Cash to exploit as he distracts the defenders and you see teams really starting to crowd around Lolly. I think Matty Cash has just been the beneficiary of that more than anything. And yes, it doesn't come through in the output that Lolly has, but I wouldn't underestimate the impact that Lolly has in terms of creating that space and distracting the kind of defenders, really. So yeah, it's frustrating, I think, not to see him have the output himself, but I think in the wider scheme of things, in terms of the whole team, you know, I don't see a reason to drop him at the moment, really.
No, I think he's one of the most naturally talented players Forrest have had in many years. And I like the fact that when Forrest are down, he's the one that digs in, helps lead the charge forward. And he has pops. He's not afraid to have a shot from outside the box, is he, and getting them in, and often he scores them, as he did so many times last season, and it will come.
Yeah.
Would you suggest, Tom, that when Lolly's on song, he's like a California dream of a player?
I'd probably have to say so, yeah.
I think he does try too hard at times too, right? You know, particularly when we're chasing games or trying to get that thing, he does carry the ball a bit further than he should. And actually, if he kept it a bit simpler at times, I think he might end up being a bit more effective. But yeah, sorry, Mark. Keen to hear your thoughts, mate.
No problem. My thoughts actually mirror your own, Jordan, spookily close, in that I do think that Matty Cash has been the beneficiary of some of what Lolly's doing. I was watching him very intently during the Millwall game, and it was interesting how much Lolly tucked inside. And you don't tuck inside when you're trying to find space. You tuck inside because you're trying to drag players away. And Matty Cash was the beneficiary of that particular game, and I'm sure there are other instances this season where that's been the case. As Cash's star rises, you have to wonder whether or not opposing team coaches are going to give more attention to Matty Cash, and maybe Cash then can return the favour and he can begin dragging players into spaces that free up room for Lolly to operate a little more effectively and start bringing up his assist and goal numbers. So I guess time will tell. Second player I have for you, Carvalho or Carvalho Go. A lot of discussion about whether or not Forrest should cash in on him. And I know we touched on this a couple of episodes ago, so I don't want to belabor the point, but nonetheless, it's circled back around again. So I thought, I don't think Tom had an opportunity to chime in. So what are your thoughts, guys?
Keep him. Absolutely. I mean, when he's on form, he's magic, isn't he?
Yeah, we saw a glimpse of it in the QPR game, right? When we saw his little run through and score and goals. I think, honestly, he's been a real victim this year of two things. I think one, not getting regular time like he did under Karanka and when he really, really flourished. And two, we play him on the wing at the moment. And we're playing him out of position, which is, you know, making him less effective than he could be. And I think we're somehow at sometimes trying to thumb in both Silva and Lolly into our starting lineups. I think he's been a victim of both of those. I think there's much more trajectory and potential for him. The tough thing is Thiago Silva's been playing really, really well recently. And, you know, he's not getting in the side on due to merit of Thiago Silva's performance. But I just think we shouldn't be trying to fit a square peg in a round hole with him. And actually, he'll get his chance. And I think once he does get his chance again, I think he'll be a staple of the team.
I think it's outrageous. He's been with Forest now 4 months and he's not in the running for Ballon d'Or. He needs to sort that out. And the final player I have for you, Rafa Mir or Rafa Meh. And to expand upon that point, because Rafa Mir has become a bit of a punching bag, so it'd be easy for us just to sit here and take cheap shots at him for the next couple of minutes. Saw an interesting question today pitched. Should we be bringing Tyler Walker back to the City Ground if we are looking to offload Mir? So, thoughts, guys?
100%, yes. Bring Tyler.
I'm with you on that one, Tom. Let's high-five remotely.
give him a chance. I mean, how many goals has he been banging in? Where is he now? Is it Lincoln now? Where is he?
Yeah.
And where was he? Mansfield before that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been prolific at both.
Yeah.
He's a Nottingham lad, he's a Forest fan. Surely giving him the chance to play in the first team, he's going to relish. There's nothing to lose by getting him back. So, absolutely. Yeah, get him back, give him a try, and Forest literally have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I felt bad for Mir in the last game that he started because he was getting no service whatsoever, and it's difficult to live off scraps, but he does look like a player very, very low on confidence right now. So, Jordan, anything to add before we move on?
No, I'm not talking about that, man. He's rivaling Mirich now in terms of my hatred. So,
fair enough. That in of itself says all that needs to be said. Let's move to our Forest team of the decade. So again, as the decade comes to a close, the three of us put our thinking caps on and we thought about which Forest players would make from the past 10 years would make our starting 11 of the decade. And so, yeah, like I said, we've each come up with a team. Who wants to kick off?
Shall we start with Paul Taylor's one in The Athletic and then we'll go into us?
Go on then.
Do you want to do that? So, the whole kind of inspiration for this kind of came from the article on The Athletic. They've been doing it not just in the football, but across all the sports, doing their various teams of the decade. So Paul Taylor went with a 4-4-2 formation with Lee Camp in goal, Chris Gunter right back, Wes Morgan and Joe Worrell as the centre-backs and Jack Robinson at left back. We had Chris Cohen and Paul McKenna in the middle of midfield, with Lolly and Andy Reid on either wing, and the two up front are Lewis Graben and Britta Sombalonga. So I think a solid start, actually, when we think about that.
Yeah, the two that jumped out at me were Lee Camp, who I had entirely forgotten about, and Paul McKenna, who I think has a show in Vegas now. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to pull that joke out, guys. So
yeah,
nice.
That's a solid pick, a solid yet understated pick, Paul McKenna. And you know, if you're putting together a real team that plays real football, you need that that balance in there in the same way that Watson provides it for us these days. So interesting 11 from Paul Taylor. Who's up next?
I would. My team kind of is pretty similar. It was an inspiration for that. A couple of names that stood out that he missed: Mikel Antonio.
Yeah.
Best and most powerful players Forest have had in a long while. You know, there was comparisons and Collie Moore.
Yeah, 100%.
His power, and he could get goals as well.
100%.
So to leave him out that team is quite surprising. I would definitely have him there. Henry Lansbury as well. Lansbury was always one of my favourite players. He would get goals, he would get stuck in.
Yeah.
I would have had him in there. But I would have Samba in goal. I don't think I've seen a better keeper at Forest. Surely not one as confident.
Well, come on then, give us your 11 because you're going around like Philip Montana.
Yeah, come on, mate.
I'm just getting fun, right? Okay, Samba, Joe Worrell, Michael Dawson, Milosevic.
Just... you're just pandering to Jordan.
Well, I've got to
now we know why Tom's on the podcast this week.
Yep, get him in there. Jamal Lascelles as well. What on, I've picked too many defenders here. I've got one.
we've got a team of 14 here.
I'm like Stuart. It's like Stuart Pearce, but you see.
You should have laid your team out on a fret. Like a sheet of music there, Tom.
Should have really. Andy Reid, Henry Lansbury, Mikel Antonio, Britt Sombalonga up front. I would have took him over Grabban. And Joe Lolly.
Very good.
And
I think that's 13.
If you can decipher that, good luck.
There you go.
Very
what
good.
What formation's that, Tom, mate?
Basically, I just tell them to go out on the pitch and sort it out themselves.
the Stuart Pearce managerial tactics.
Exactly.
No idea old school. What the tactics are. Yeah, just have at it, man.
forgetting to pick a goalkeeper.
Fantastic. Unreal.
That's great. That's absolutely stellar.
Oh, by the way, did we pick a manager of the decade? We didn't, did we?
Billy Davis, second time around.
Honestly, we have had when I was trying to pick this, we have had some absolute dribble in players as well as manager cohort. But I do Billy Davis, Mark 1.
Well, Jordan, why don't you give us your best team? Then I'll do my best team. Then I know you're desperate to go through your rank team. So,
yeah. So my best team is a 4-4-2 formation. So it's our friend Arijanet Muric in goal. Right back, we've got Lee Peltier. Centre backs are Lewis Lang and Roger Riera, with left back Dan Harding. Right wing, Lika. Centre midfield battling duo of Kyle Ebasilio and Aaron Shibola. And then on left wing, Nicolau Dumitru with Rafa Mir and Lars Velbeik up front. What a decade of a team that is, lad.
Have you just made those names up? Because I don't recall any of those names.
I don't know if they win a game, but they win a game of Scrabble.
Oh, mate, honestly. And you should see some of the names I like. We had to filter out. We had Khalid Al-Rashidi as a goalkeeper. Heffler. Matt Thornhill, a little early 2010, 2011 pick there, who just was diabolical. Liam Trotter, João Teixeira, who we had on loan about 3 seasons ago and never played. We've got our mate Ari Eby, who we signed with gusto from Chesterfield and never played. Leo Bonatini, Ishmael Miller, Rafik Jabbour, Darius Henderson, Chuba Akpom, Francisco Makeda.
Okay, it's just standing O'Grady, it's standing like a cast list now from Star Wars.
Just like we've had some drivel. Absolute. So I'll do my proper team. So I went for a 3-5-2 just to fit names in as we went through. So in goal, I went for Doris de Vries. I was close with Camp or Samba.
Interesting.
But Doris de Vries was mint. I was really gutted when he went to Celtic. So I had to go three at the back because I had too many forward players to choose from. So I went Chris Gunter, Jack Hobbs and Bojan Djokic. I thought Djokic was a phenomenal left back. Never really got the credit he deserved. Then I'm going to have, because I've got three at the back, two more holding midfielders, Henry Lansbury and Paul McKenna. I think I agree with you, Tom, on Lansbury.
As a holding midfielder?
Honestly, Cohen was too injured. And actually, Lansbury, I think, had more ability and was more consistent through an absolute terrible era that we had at the club.
He had the tackling ability of a Paul Scholes. That's what he had.
It's all right. Paul McKenna, though, will just be that dogged midfielder. So yeah, I think we'll give them something. Then we've got a three in front of them of Mikel Antonio, Rady Miewski and Andy Reid. That's naughty, isn't it? And then up front, we've got Robbie Earnshaw and Britta Sombalonga. So we've got bagsmen up front. A naughty three, a dogged little duo in midfield, and then a little solid three at the back.
Tactics, man. You've really done your homework on this. I'm impressed.
Mate, I'm,
champ manager.
That's it.
This is the most exciting thing he's done in the last few weeks, Tom. He's so excited to do this.
Yeah, it took me a while, to be fair. I just want to give a couple of shouts out. We've got Adlin Gwediora, Mark 1, was mint.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair play.
Gary Gardner while on loan, just unreal.
I forgot about him. He saw some great goals as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then Danny Pinios, quality left back. And then Ryan Bertrand we had as well.
Yeah. What about Abdoun? How's nobody mentioning Abdoun, man, after that Panenka penalty?
Mate, he was on my list of drivel as well. He didn't even make the drivel list alongside Diogo.
He had two amazing games for Forest. Two. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. And then we had Greg Halford up front back in the after. Yeah, anyway. So that was my 3-5-2 team of the decade. I thought long and hard about that one.
Love it. And you boys didn't mention captains. Who'd captain your team, Tom?
Did I have Dawson in there? If so, probably Dawson.
Did I have Dawson?
Did he? You had 15 players and played 7 at the back. I'm sure Dawson made that team.
You know what? I've double checked it. There's 11 in there. My football knowledge isn't quite what yours is, but I know there's 11 players on the team.
Your football knowledge is excellent. Your music knowledge is exemplary. Your maths.
Hang on. I'm going to...
What about you, Jordan? Who's your skipper?
Oh, so this is tough because I've got like three captains in here, but I'm going to go for Paul McKenna. I thought he really kind of ran the ship. Like, and we forget it, we have a bit of recency bias, which we may pick other players, but he was brilliant for us. Thank him for me,
Paul McKenna. Well, that's magic. Okay, I'm going to go with a 4-4-2. And almost all of these names have been said. I think of my entire team here, one of them has been said, but I don't think picked, and the other one hasn't been picked. So goalkeeper, Bruce Samba, hands down, hands up, hands anywhere you like.
Yeah.
It's got to be Samba. My left back, yes, I know he would be left back on crutches, but it's got to be Christy Cohen. I mean, he embodies Nottingham Forest. And anyone who didn't shed a tear when he scored his final goal at the City Ground, check yourself for a pulse. Centre-back partnership, the tail end of, but Wes Morgan and Michael Dawson. Yes, Wes Morgan did sneak in. I think he was at Forest the first year of this last decade. So
yeah, you got him for a year and a half. Basically.
There you go. Wes Morgan and Michael Dawson are centre-backs.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. Pump. Like, I was toying with them as well.
In their pump.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
So a right-back... This is the name no one's mentioned, which kind of surprises me because, again, I think somebody who really embodied Forest, limited player, but gave it all, Eric Lehigh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, paying to the crowd here as well with our American audience. So.
Yeah, wait till you see my North American five-a-side team after this, lads.
Losing the wheel. My four midfield, central midfield partnership. I don't know how much steel there is here, but Henry Lansbury, Tom.
Solid choice, yeah.
Excellent player. You know, he scored 30 goals for us in 148 appearances.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. Like, no, and he really played wasn't. In some terrible teams.
Yes.
Like, I remember when we beat Barnsley up 5-1 away and he scored that hat trick.
Yeah.
If you look at that lineup, it is horrendous, like awful. So he played in some of our worst teams.
Oh, this needed to be a YouTube episode. Jordan's getting so animated. So Lansbury alongside, again, somebody else who's not been mentioned or picked. And again, maybe I just gravitate to players who I just think run their bloody socks off for us in Cohen, in Lehigh, in Lansbury, alongside Benny Osborne.
Of course, yeah.
He was an honorary mention in my real team. I just didn't know where to put him.
Left wing, Andy Reid. Right wing, Mikel Antonio.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit of both there. You got power and pace up one wing. You got trickery and fags up the other. And then up top.
That's cigarette for our American listeners.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Well rescued.
Oh, dear. And up top, Britt Sombolonga and Robert Earnshaw. Just like you, Jordan. Again, waded in with 45 goals and 113 appearances, which is really a remarkable outlay. Also, my honourable mentions, Lee Camp, Matty Cash, Lewis McGugan, again, 44 goals, 225 appearances. And when he was on fire, he was burning hot. And Lewis Graben, I mean, he is one of the most natural predatory strikers that we've seen in a Forest shirt, not just this decade, but ever, I think. And so, got to get a nod, even though he doesn't make my starting 11. So, there you go. We'll go ahead and post those starting 11s on our Twitter feed for anyone who might want to dissect them and give us crap for who we selected.
Yeah, like, I just can't believe I didn't pick Bruce Samba here. Now I'm kind of really regretting it. But I think he's only played like 4 or 5 months. I think honestly, if he could complete the season, I think he'd make it for me. But I just want to give one honorary shout out to Juan Fuentes. Played 45 minutes for us, and they were probably the best 45 minutes anyone's had on debut for Forest before he broke his leg. So shout out to Juan Fuentes. He's probably the biscuit left back that actually, if he'd have stayed fit, could have actually been phenomenal for us.
Hashtag never forget, never forget.
I just want to give a quick shout out to my five-a-side North American team that I picked. I had to be loose with the rules to include the CONCACAF nations just to actually make five. But we've got Morgan and Lehigh at the back, with Gaboli Ariibi in this midfield, with Dexter Blackstock and Robbie Finlay up front. So there's our kind of five North American / CONCACAF Forest five-a-side team. Just need a goalkeeper. Nice. Corey can go in goal.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, solid. So that's 6-a-side. Perfect.
Okay, let's turn our attentions to upcoming games. Jordan, lead us off on the predictions. We're going to focus on games through the end of this calendar year. So who we got?
So yeah, predictions then, lads. So we're not doing very well. Shock.
Right, speak for yourself.
For the other miss there.
I'm raging at the table.
We're not doing great. We're not doing great. I'm just going to say, yeah, Mark, you're on 12 points for this quarter. So you're doing well. I'm on 9. And then we go a long way down until Corey's there on 6. So roles have reversed since the first quarter. So Corey's on 22, I'm on 20, and you're on 21, Mark. So it's getting tight between us. We need to, anyway, predictions and upcoming fixtures. So first one coming up Saturday, Sheffield Wednesday at home. What are your thoughts, Tom? Why don't you take us off, mate?
I'm just going to go with a win because I was... I actually, like I said before,
just win.
Blanket statement.
I don't really follow the rest of the league. I just follow Forest. Go for the win. Why not? And by the way, we're hosting the Sheffield. We're hosting the Owls, the Sheffield Wednesday fans at Smithfield Hall on Saturday. So we'll have the away supporters with us as well. Well, the home support. Were we playing at home or away? I can't remember.
Home. We're at home.
So we'll have the away supporters with us.
There's going to be a punch up in the offing. At least give us a scoreline then, Tom. You said Forest win. By what margin?
Let's go 2-0.
Tasty.
Things are going to click. Go on, Mark.
I'm going to go for Forest win as well, just by virtue of the fact that I was about to say something really ridiculous, which is just by virtue of the fact we're playing at home. But that hasn't exactly yielded many points, has it, in recent games? But I'm still going to go for a win. Forest 1-0.
Oh, mate, I'm the same. All right, 1-0 as well. Both on my sheet, and I think actually in reflection now, Sheffield have been doing pretty well recently, and I think we need a win, and I think it'll be a bit of a grind-out performance. We'll try and stay solid and hopefully nick one. And yeah, we've not been smashing goals recently, so I think that's the best. And then we move on following Saturday on the 21st of December, the last game before Christmas. It's Huddersfield away. I remember going there a couple of years ago at Christmas time. It was Baltic. So, Cowley brothers now managing them. Had a bit of a spike and now falling away. So, Mark, what are your thoughts on a result against Huddersfield?
Yeah, I like the Cowley brothers. They've had a fantastic career to date, and I think they're going to go on to bigger and better things than Huddersfield. That being said, Huddersfield is the home of Dean Whitehead. Shout out to Dino. Those who know, almost ended up at Sea Ground. That's a story for another podcast. But now there's only, I think, 4 or 5 teams out of the 24 in the division that have conceded more goals than Huddersfield. And so, though the Cowleys are going to get it right, and we are seeing small improvements, I fancy a bit of a QPR here, which is what we're going to formally call it from now on. Forest run up the score. So I'm going to go Forest 3-0.
Decent. Decent. Tom?
We'll grind it out. I honestly think 1-0.
I'm going to go 1-0 away win as well there. I think maybe 2. Oh, go on. I'll do 2, a little Christmas bonus. I think Huddersfield are on the slide. Then Boxing Day, we go up to Hull. Hull away. We'll meet our friend Eric Lehigh and his band of merry men. Tom, what do you think we're going to do there?
Really? I couldn't tell you. Really? I couldn't tell you.
You're sort of obligated to, Paul, Tom.
Boxing Day. We always do well on Boxing Day, don't we? Always come away with a win. Yeah, so I'm going to go with a win. I'm going to go with 2-1.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, Boxing Day is always a Forest win. The last few seasons, it's always something that seems to be a good day for us. So I'm going to go with a win.
Yeah, Mark?
So I'm not, Tom is right. We usually fare pretty well on Boxing Day, but I'm not, for some reason, this one makes me really nervous. I don't know if it's the fact you've got to travel all the way to Hull on Boxing Day, and that some of the boys will be lined, hungover, and that's a long old way to go travel around the Christmas period. Listeners to this pod know that I can never predict a Forest defeat, so I am going to go with a 1-1.
Yeah, I went 1-1-2 because Jared Bowen has been on flames for them and just scoring all the time.
He might be with Forest a few days later, right?
Well, that's the annoying thing. If it had been 5 days later, he'd have signed for another team. But I'm thinking 1-1. And I think that's the most we'll probably hope for there because he's very dangerous. Yeah. And then the 29th of December, the game I'm actually going to, boys. Can't wait. We've got Wigan at home. So, Mark, how do you think my day is going to go sat in the Trent End on the 29th of December?
6-0 to Forest.
Decent. That battering I've been hoping for.
There you go. Just for you.
I'm going to go with a major 4-0 loss to ruin your trip.
Busting, mate. Proper Can't wait. I'm going to go 2-0. I don't think we're going to have been doing that well recently. They've not been doing well on the road. Although we should beat them about 5-0. But I'm compensating for the fact that we usually have a bit of a slip up towards the end of the month in December. So 2-0 for me. And I think that rounds us up to the year. And I hope we'll get an episode in before New Year's Day. What do you reckon? I think we might.
Yeah,
let's try. And if not, know that Forest play Blackburn on New Year's Day. And otherwise, we'll get back to you.
All right, gents. Well, that pretty much rounds up everything we have for the docket, with the exception of one small surprise that we have for Jordan.
Oh, no, we've got one piece is just on Nashville.
One update.
Guys, we have
is this just book the flights?
News.
Is that what you're
it
saying?
It is. Okay. We can book the flights, sound the horn. We can all head over to Nashville. Andrew did a great write-up on the website, so I can't say it any better than, ladies and gentlemen, families and friends, the time has come where we can formally confirm our 2019-2020 meetup will be held on the weekend of March 20th to the 22nd of March 2020 in Nashville, Tennessee. Tailgate Brewery are going to host us. They've been fantastic on over the email and hosting us and helping us out. We might even get a little gig from our buddy Tom at the bar whilst we're there that weekend. We'll be playing Bristol City at home. It's a 10 a.m. start. Most of us are looking to fly out Friday, a few Thursday night. Please sign up using the Google form link. It's on the website on the sign up form. We've already got about 85 people signed up, which is going to be a fantastic turnout. Go ahead, book the flights, lads. Hotel and other information is going to be coming out in an email to those that send in the form. But glad to have got this over the line and shout out to everyone for their hard work, predominantly kind of Dan, Carl and Andrew kind of supporting that. And then Nigel's going to sort some hotel stuff out. And thanks to Lee Wood, Match Day with Max and Jack Robinson for their little launch videos that you may have seen on social media to encourage you to book the flights.
Yeah, those were mint. Those were fantastic. So 85 signed up already. That's more than Derby take to away games.
Yay. Yeah, it's good. So don't miss out. It's going to be a cracker of a weekend and we've got a few things in the planning.
I'm very excited to see Forest with fellow Forest fans. I'm very excited to sink a few as we sing songs from the city ground. But more than anything, I'm just so excited to press the flesh with Tom Wardle.
Oh, mate, it's going to be a pleasure to meet you as well. And we're going to get you on the mic with us as well.
Oh, good God. Speaking of which.
And the rest. Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew there's a reason you had me on the show.
It wasn't for your looks. This is an audio medium.
Going to have to separate this love affair here when you guys finally meet in Nashville.
When you co-host an interview with Robin Chipperfield, you bond. It's a special bond that happens.
Chippers was great, wasn't he? And he's a fantastic bloke. He's a good mate of mine. And,
But anyway, back to our surprise for Jordan. We're going to close out this pod. Something that Tom and I have been talking about. We thought we'd spring on Jordan, knowing that Jordan has dulcet tones of his own.
And boys.
He's been wont to sing a few times on this podcast in the past. Now that we have a legit singer.
Is that his ambition, is it?
That might be.
Oh, boys, no, you're really overhyping these chants. I just like chants. I like chants, but I don't know what you've got for me here, boys. So I'm kind of a bit nervously excited. I can't wait for
Nashville now when Tom and Jordan do a duet of Girls Just Want to Have Fun or something equally squeamish. So we're going to close out the pod with Tom leading us in a rendition of Mullican Tie. He's got a guitar on hand and everything, Jordan.
There we go, is it?
Oh, boys.
Live version. Geez. He's going to tune the guitar, and as he's just doing missed. That, I'm going to apologize to our listeners because Tom is a phenomenal singer. Jordan can carry a tune. I draw cats to the neighborhood.
So. Oh, boys, what a surprise. Really excited for this. And yeah, it's not going to be as good as our intro, but hopefully this
good
is the second best. I know. Yeah, like we didn't really do this in the intro, but... Guys, like, how good is Tom's song? We need to get it played at the City Ground. We need to start that petition and get that in. So when we think about the Paul McCartney hashtag, we also need to think about the Tom playing Mullican Tie at the City Ground hashtag. Oh,
there we go. I'll be with him.
Deno would do it, wouldn't he? Deno would do it. He wouldn't lose his job over that. Sneak it in, Deno.
Yeah, just lob it in.
I've asked him. Close enough for rock and roll, that'll do.
Excellent.
So how do the words go again?
Well, it goes like this.
City ground,
miss rolling in from the trend.
My desire is always to be here. City ground.
That was atrocious. Just keep going. Let's do it better this time around.
City ground, rolling in from the trend. My desire is always to be here.
City ground.
I just pray our listeners could hear Tom.
That was disastrous.
Outrageously bad. Well, Tom was good.
That was so impromptu, as impromptu as the last time we did it when we recorded, and subsequently lost the whole recording.
Oh man, I didn't hit record. No, just kidding, Tom.
You sound like my studio engineer when I get the good take. Oh shit, were you recording that one? I was like, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thanks to all our listeners. We really appreciate you. And if we don't get to talk to you again before Christmas, which is unlikely, we certainly do wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. However you go to celebrate with Forest Winds.
You Reds!
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast podcast.